I'm worried about the way that I look. Might sound vain, but you know, over the last 4 years, I've helped more than 1,000 business owners clear anything that is holding them back from speaking on camera, from making videos to grow their brand and their business. And about 60% of the time, the audience will say to me as their number one concern, I'm worried about the way that I look. So whilst I know that my own journey has been to accept that clothes and makeup are actually the last thing I need to worry about, the first thing I know I really need to worry about is what's going on between my ears, inside my head. But I also know that the confidence that comes from having a bit of a style squat, a few tips that can help you know that the clothes you're wearing, the makeup that you're choosing, the hair that you're going with when you show up on camera, and when you show up on stage, and let's face it, through your professional life, all of those things can lead to you feeling fantastic. And that is why in this particular episode, I'm going to introduce you to a TV stylist and a TV hair and makeup artist. Both of these girls are people that I've adored working with in the last 13 years that I've been back home working in TV and radio in Perth. They're going to take you behind the scenes of their freelance businesses. You'll hear how TV presenters get support from their style team to get ready for the news each night, and they'll give you their top tips to help you when you show up on camera to grow your own brand. So let's get to know Channel 7 stylist and more, Bridget Hudson, and freelance TV makeup artist and hair artist, Nicole Ford. Here they are. In today's media landscape, options abound. From traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. Bridget, I'll start with you. How did you wind up a TV stylist?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. And I honestly have like given my whole life to fashion. I just love it. I love what it can do for you. I love how it can give you so much confidence, can make you feel good. It's memories. It's, you know, it's exciting occasions. It's things to plan for. And it really just brings me a lot of joy. And I try and share that with other people. So I've worked from a young age since I was able to, you know, I worked in fashion retail, and that kind of gave me the starting point of, okay, this is something I like. And one of my managers at the time, I was 17, she said, I don't know what to do with myself. You know, I was not one of those kids that knew. And she said, you know, you're great at fashion, do fashion. I said, okay. So I went and, you know, signed up for fashion at TAFE, and I did a couple of years of that. And I realized it's a really hard industry. So I took a little bit of a break. I still worked in fashion and I went traveling. And when I came back, I just started being a bit of an entrepreneur. I was selling vintage, customizing, you know, all that kind of thing, had pop-up stores. And I was approached by friends that, you know, makeup artists, photographers who would say, hey, can you style this street that I'm doing? So it kind of started like that. And then I just got this amazing opportunity where I met the stylist from Channel 7. She took me on board. She liked me. It was just literally one of those chance encounters. And I've been there for 10 years. So from that opened more doors, and I have done some amazing projects. I think there's so many exciting things about every component of what I do. I love that every day can be different. I like the challenges, but ultimately I just love being surrounded by creative, beautiful people and things, and, you know, and just bringing joy and confidence to my clients. So
I love those reflections on how fashion can actually change the way we feel. And I talk a lot about how you feel before you get on camera, right? So dressing, makeup, you know, those focus exercises that I've been talking about in the program, they can all contribute to your overall finished product when it comes to what you project on screen. Nicole, can I move on to you and ask the same kind of question? How did the TV thing come about for you, you know, in the lead up to when I met you for that first time when you were working at Channel 7?
Yeah, so I basically went, I'm a hairdresser by trade, so went into hairdressing, had my first daughter, got into makeup. That kind of led into doing weddings and then advertising with the modeling agencies. And then another friend who was in TV reached out to see if I knew anybody that might be interested. And then I was like, well, I might be interested. So I started with Channel 7 and was there for about 4 years. And then I went across to manage the makeup department at Channel 10. and then made redundant from there, but then went to ABC. So I still do the fashion side and weddings and that type of thing. But I've realized that TV and corporate is what I love doing the most. So I've kind of tried to stay in that field. But yeah, that's kind of how I got in there, accidentally and organically, similar to Bridget. And I worked with Bridget at Channel 7. So yeah, that's how I kind of stumbled into it.
Yeah, like both of you girls, I'll say this again, you know, you've both provided me with so much counsel and support over the years, and that's where that trust has come from. You know, I can trust each of you to give me really honest feedback, and I think that's a really important part about a relationship you have with anyone that you're working with, whether they're, you know, they're painting your face or giving you advice on what to wear. So that is an awesome thing about each of you. Now, can you talk to me, Bridget, about what a day contains for you? What's it like to turn up at a TV station and dress the people for the news? And what else do you do with your time?
Well, every day is different. So for Channel 7, like even Channel 7, even though it's been the same job for the last 10 years, like every year it kind of evolves. So I used to loan a lot of clothing for designers to dress the ladies with. And also things have restructured a little bit. So I do more buying now. And so I spend a lot of my time spending money, which is fun. Who doesn't love that? Yeah, I literally, my job is everything from personality management. So really making sure that the people I dress are happy. It's like in some ways having children and everyone has to be happy. You know, I don't want to spend all my money and time on one person. I have to kind of share that around. Managing budgets, managing relationships with people in stores. You know, they look after us and give us generous discounts and can loan us things when we really need it. So I definitely, it's a lot of management in all sense. But yeah, it's a bit flexible and, you know, although I have a bit of a routine, I can sort of be my own boss and do what I want when I want. It's a lot of fun, really. I cannot complain about that, Joe. I love it. That's why I've been there 10 years. It's only a day and a half a week. So I usually try and go in like all day Monday and half a day on Tuesday. But my team's pretty self-sufficient, so they can dress themselves and I just oversee the process. So that's my week for Channel 7. And then I have a fashion label called Rain the Label, if you've never heard of it. It's a woman's cocktail sort of evening wear. It's a lot of work. It's a labor of love, you know, and it's very like, again, I get that beautiful relationship building with my clients and you get to know them and what they like. And then in turn, that helps you design your new collections. So I have a business partner and we work on that at least, you know, 1 to 2 days a week. And then I've also launched an accessories line. So, you know, like statement earrings, just beautiful accessories to complement my label as well as for my clients, because there was always this niche, as far as I was concerned, a lot of clients wanted help with accessorizing. They've got a dress and maybe I help them choose it, but they're like, I don't know now what to do with accessories. So I wanted something that was affordable, but, you know, fun and really brought together the whole outfit. So that's something I've launched recently and I'm spending a lot of time working on that. And of course, I freelance as a freelance stylist. It could be anything from an STM shoot to something for a store. Like I've worked with Sassenbeide, they might have a style evening. But as well, I'm one of the personal shoppers at Karrinyup Shopping Centre. So you can book a session with me through the Karrinyup channel. It's really fun. It's amazing. The centre's just been refurbed. It's absolutely out of this world. And it is good to have someone like me to help guide you through all the amazing things there. So that's me. I have a million different jobs. I love all of them. I don't have time for anything else, like maybe my dog and my husband and friends, but that's and family and that's it.
Nicole, you're busy with your own many, many aspects to what you're doing for your business, but also with your family. Can you talk us through a day in your life?
Sure. So when I'm in TV world, basically the presenters come in and we see what they've got to wear and we match kind of their makeup to their outfits, do their makeup for their updates through the day. And I guess most recently at ABC, we've got sort of two female presenters there. So I'm in charge of doing their hair and makeup and then touch ups through the day. I don't do wardrobe there, but at Channel 10, I did have to help style and do some of the shopping for their outfits. So basically, yeah, get them ready for their bulletin. When I'm not there, I do a lot of clients from home. So hairdressing or beauty work and spray tans and that type of thing. And doing a lot of makeup for people that are doing branding shoots. So people like your clients who are rebranding and needing hair and makeup done for when they're going on camera. Or I'm doing advertising or promotion shoots, which is including hair and makeup, because generally they want to keep hair and makeup artists together because they're all on a budget. The most recent exciting trip was when we went to Carnarvon for The Bachelorette. So I looked after Brooke And that was a great experience. I was able to take my partner and baby along with me. And then in between that, I guess it's just doing freelance for any reason for someone to need hair and makeup, whether it's for a photo shoot or a family shoot. That's kind of, yeah, any reason. Weddings, school balls, those sorts of makeup and hair.
It really is a lifetime thing, isn't it? You know, I think, you know, I met you and really loved the way you did my makeup for TV when I would get those opportunities through radio. And then, yeah, that did lead to a makeup lesson and then bringing you to make me up for my wedding because you thought you're not doing this on your own. You're there at my engagement as well. So, yeah, it's this lifetime relationship you can have once you build that beautiful trust with a makeup artist. That is beautiful. Can I go to you first, Bridget, then, and tell me your first of three top tips to help us with on-camera styling?
Okay, so, I mean, I do have a million, but we'll start with don't let your clothes wear you. There's a lot of like different ways you could look at that. But really, firstly, be yourself, you know, whoever you are. And they're there to accentuate you, but not to distract from your message. I think that's the biggest thing I can say. So obviously, you know, I'm in fashion, like I'm wearing a bit of a shoulder detail and I've got a big earring. But I really wouldn't go much beyond this for most people, unless maybe you were filming a fashion segment. Because it can be distracting. So if I had, you know, a top full of bling and the brightest print you can imagine and a giant sleeve, like no one's actually looking, no one's listening. It's to some degree they're just, you know, just looking at me and maybe it's polarizing. Maybe they've instantly decided they don't like me because my outfit is just so bizarre. Do you know what I mean? Like we don't need to look like a Christmas tree when we're on camera. You definitely don't want anything that's jangling around, perhaps making like bangles that are making noise and distracting again from what you're trying to do. So so definitely that is a huge one. And you know, it's as simple as, Jen, just avoid some of the trends. Like don't wear a giant sleeve or a big ruffly thing around your neck. Yeah, accessories to a minimal, but still you can have them. They absolutely do complement and add a little bit of value, but just keep it sort of simple and classic. Again, it depends on the story. Are you an artist? Are you, you know, in fashion and creative? Are you selling earrings? You know, it really depends on what you're promoting. So that's the first one though.
Nicole, can you share with us your first of three top tips for makeup and what we need to do to make sure we're ready to go?
Sure. So similar to Bridget explaining, anything that's distracting, it can take away what you're trying to talk about or sell or promote. So generally we keep makeup quite neutral. You can definitely have a bright lip color, for example, but then you would maybe not have a smoky eye. So you play up one feature. That's probably the best thing that we were taught, especially in TV, because if journalists or news presenters are trying to tell a story and, you know, their makeup's distracting or not blended or whichever, people get annoyed and they'll change the channel. So it's really keeping it quite neutral. But again, if you have got more of a colourful personality and you want to wear a bright flamingo pink lipstick, then go for it. But just try and keep everything else a little bit more neutral. So I think the distracting point is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good advice. And again, bringing it back to brand. If it's on brand for you, do it. Leave it in there. Don't go changing things just because you're starting to grow your brand on social media by appearing on camera more often. In fact, the things that make you unique and you are the things that people are going to remember and identify with. I'll give you a good example. My dad, when he was going around as a salesman when he was a young man, he was really, really tall and skinny and young looking. He was still only 21 years old or something like that. And I remember he told me that one of the things he did to help himself stand out as a salesman was grow his curly mustache. That if anyone follows me and knows pictures I've put of my dad before, he's had that his whole life. In fact, there was a moment when he got rid of it and he was unrecognizable because that's how people know him. So if you've got an element of yourself that you like to play up, I think that's a really smart thing to do so that you kind of stand out from the pack. That's fabulous advice. Okay, let's go to tip number two from Bridget.
I'm actually just touching back on the last point. I mean, that what we're saying is really generic here. And I agree that if your natural personality is to wear a big earring, great, do that. And like you said, it is memorable. But don't be someone that you're not, I guess. Like don't go, okay, I'm on camera and now I'm going to get the top with the biggest sleeves and think because I want to be on trend. And then when you look at yourself in the camera, you go, oh my God, I look crazy. So yeah, be yourself. It's definitely easy, but yeah, also keeping it a little bit toned down if that's not you. So the next tip would be color because generally, that's my life tip. You know, if you do look at my styling pages, you will see that I'm all about color. Now, there is a place for black, and it's usually in winter or funerals, but you can look amazing in black. I will never take that away from people, and I do wear black clothes. For me, it's color, and it's about knowing your colors. And again, you can see a stylist for something like this, or you can go to the change room at, you know, pick a store, Zara, it's very colorful. Get like 20 different colors of clothing that you find on the rack, walk into the change room, hold it up against your face. Which one, you know, brings out the warmth? Which one highlights your eyes? You know, you've got blue eyes, and then you put this blue against your skin and instantly your eyes pop. You know, if you've got a pink-based skin, you know, you put the pink there, maybe it's making your skin look a little bit pinkier, which again, makeup can take some of that pink out. But just that's a great exercise to work out which colors add value to you. And yep. So, you know, for me, I love like hot pink, for example, but for on camera, I wouldn't wear it as much. I've gone for a soft pink because it is, it's does it like the pink wears me, the hot pink, whereas the soft pink is just really like neutral and it works for me. So color yep. is really important, but picking the right color, neon, like it can be really fun. Again, you're doing a fashion story or whatever, because there's some great like neon lime and hot pinks and things like that. And I love them. But again, you know, just if that's not something you don't normally wear, maybe don't use that as the first time you're going on camera, because you might get thrown when instantly you feel not yourself. So again, the color is really important. Bring a few outfit options. If this is the first time you're going to record somewhere and you've put money into this recording, you know, bring three options. Make sure you've tried them at home, check them against your skin and that kind of thing, but have them ready to go in case you put it on and it's just not working with the lighting and everything. So color, and tailor the story or whatever you're selling to the color. So obviously if I was selling like funeral homes, or like, you know, something about aftercare with death, I mean, maybe I would pick a navy, something subdued, or a cream and black, something like that. Yeah, so I think, you know, you can wear those darker colors. Again, if you're doing a piece that is something that is associated with that kind of, or like a really corporate kind of thing, maybe you're a divorce lawyer or something, maybe again, you go for navy or something a little bit more serious. But yeah, color, use it, think about it, and learn what colors suit you best.
Love that hack for going into the shops to just figure out your own colors. And yeah, just sort of by accident over the years, I've just seen moments where I'll hold up a color and go, oh, wow, that's the one that makes my eyes really stand out. And your skin kind of takes on a glow, doesn't it, when you're wearing the right color? It's a really powerful thing. Are there any colors that don't work on camera just because of the way they show up in a recording?
Honestly, it really depends on, because I mean, from a news perspective, which is where I do a lot of my on-camera work, I mean, we have like green screens, and of course, then we can't do green and yellow and those kind of things. Off-white can be a really hard color for a lot of people. You know, mustard, again, black can drain the life out of you, which is why I avoid black. So, but honestly, if you go for soft colors like pearl pinks, pearl blues, those kind of colors, usually, you know, again, depending on whether they suit you, or like classic colors like red, navy, green, you know, you're probably not going to have too many problems. Again, if there's a green screen, and think about the background. Where are you shooting? You know, are you shooting in front of the ocean? Like, is that your background? Okay, maybe wear a color, like a red. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to wear blue and then you're shooting on blue. So think about those details as well when you're working out which color to wear.
Love that. Love that. Thank you so much, Bridget. All right. Tip number two from Nicole. What's yours?
I think the main thing is to not be overshiny in your skin. So making sure that you have powder to mat down the face, not overly. You still want to have skin look like skin, but I find that if your skin's super shiny, then you're going to have what's hot spots. So generally those areas are across the forehead, sort of around the nose, around the cheek area, and underneath around the chin. So you can set your makeup firstly with a loose powder. And then if you're going on location, you can have a compact powder, because loose powder will tend to maybe open up and go through everything. So a pressed powder, which doesn't add too much color, it's just taking away that shine like a block powder. They're probably with mattifying the skin and not over having highlights and shiny eyeshadows, or you can have a lip balm or a lip gloss, you know, but if it's too, again, distracting or shiny, then that takes away people's attention. And then if you are on location, then making sure, because you probably have the outdoor lighting, or if you're shooting at home and you've got your actual lights, that tends to sort of wash your skin out. So you can warm up the skin for that reason and use, like, say, a bronzing powder that is matte. So trying to eliminate too much shine is probably, you know, the biggest sin in TV is shiny skin.
Okay, back to Bridget for tip number three from a styling point of view.
Okay, so wearing structured clothing is the next one. So it doesn't mean, you know, everything has to be structured, but it's just an easier way, like a kind of an easier mantra. So for example, if you were standing up filming and you wanted to look, you know, you want to flatter yourself, let's face it, that's what we want to do on camera, and you're wearing a baby doll dress because they're really fashionable right now and they're really comfortable too, it's just going to make you look wider, you know, and especially where they're cropping it, like maybe they're cropping it at your waist, is just not going to be as flattering on camera. So I would always stick to something more tailored if possible. I love a suit. I feel like anybody could wear a great suit. And if not a suit, a blazer, you know, a blazer with jeans if it's a more casual thing. All you need is like a cami underneath. It's nice to have a little bit of skin showing. I love a blazer because it does give you that professional kind of look, but it's also on trend and they've kind of been in fashion for such a long time now. So again, the suiting is like my absolute favorite, but again, just a blazer or jeans or a skirt or whatever you want to do with it. There's so many different types of blazers, like a double-breasted one can be really flattering if you're curvier because it, you know, it cinches you in at the waist. Maybe if you're a bit taller and a bit more straight up and down, you can get away with those kind of oversized blazers that are in fashion at the moment. But you definitely can't go wrong with a tailored blazer. Mm-hmm. And suiting, like you can get from a lot of places. I love Zara. Like just Zara has some amazing affordable pieces that look great on camera and really good colored suit. They're always selling blazers and suits and it's super affordable. You can get a whole suit for, you know, $150, $200.
Wow. Yeah.
That still do kind of last. And color, like don't be afraid of color. You need to wear like a beautiful pink suit or a red suit or something different is really nice. Again, just blazer is fine too. Okay, so that's that. But again, just avoiding your floaty styles. You can also wear a structured dress. It could be just a really beautiful, I mean, it could even just be structured at the top and, you know, like with a short sleeve or a three-quarter sleeve, you know, maybe a nice square neck or V-neck and it cinches you in at the waist. And maybe it, you know, is A-line or it's pencil, whatever. But again, something structured is usually going to be more flattering than something really floaty and really puffy and really ruffly. And the more volume you have, generally, the more volume that it might add on camera, especially not knowing how you might be cropped or the angles and things like that.
Nicole, time for your third top tip for makeup.
Yeah, it's really hard to just pick three. So yeah. I'll try and just keep it at three and not try and sneak in some other point. But I think the biggest thing also is blending. So knowing how to blend the foundation down the neck or over the ears or depending on what you're wearing so that your face and body actually match. Generally, our face is a shade lighter than the rest of our body. So, you know, even in a photo, you might look back and go, why does my face look white? And I'm, you know, look brown in the rest of my body. So when we're matching our foundation, you try and match it onto your décolletage or turn your face to the side and see what color your shoulder is and try and match that. So blending is really important because otherwise it's distracting. And whether it's eyeshadow that you're blending as well. So if you find that you're not someone who's really amazing at doing eyeshadow, you can still have great makeup by, you know, mascara or having your eyebrows groomed nicely, whether they've tinted or had them waxed or whichever you have done. And, you know, with your blush and bronzer or contour, if you're going to go down that avenue with your makeup, blending is probably the most important thing.
What did you think? Three great takeaways that are going to help you in your confidence to show up on camera or wherever you need to, quite frankly, to grow and promote your brand. I'll share links to Bridget and Nicole's information inside the show notes. But to recap those tips, Bridget, don't let your clothes wear you. Get your colours right, including that amazing tip for doing your own colours when you're out shopping. Didn't you love that? And to wear structured clothing. Each of those has really helped me. And then remember hair and makeup artist Nicole's three key tips. Play up one feature at a time. Have a strategy to avoid that really, really hectic shine. It can really derail a shoot. Blend and blend some more was her number three. Now, if you enjoyed these tips and all of the other tips that the experts that I brought to the table during the first season of Modern Media, I hope that you will give me an email or give me a call and talk to me about my Confidence on Camera program or Modern Media Performer. There's a couple of ways you can engage with these, either as an organisation or individually, and I'd really love to take you through them. So drop me an email, carmen@carmenbraidwood.com.au. And that's it. Season number one of Modern Media is complete. I'd love to send a big thank you to Laura McRae, Podcast Support Services, who has just been a dream throughout this whole process. And really, there wouldn't have been a first season, or definitely not a first three episodes, if it hadn't have been for Laura. So thank you, Laura. And what do you think? I would love to hear from you right now about what you'd expect to hear in season two of Modern Media. What have you enjoyed about what we've done for the first season? Is there anything you didn't like in the first season? I love feedback. It's the journey toward getting things better and getting a better result for all of us. So let's talk about what we can bring to the table together. You might even want to pitch yourself as a guest. I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email sometime soon, and I'll see you soon in the Modern Media.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.